Hey there, cat lovers and all you other curious pet parents. This week on the podcast, we're going to be talking with certified animal behavior consultant Amy Shojihi. We're going to talk about the physical and behavioral changes that our feline friends experience as they grow older, from muscle wasting to picky eating. Now, there are some audio issues in this episode, but they're not too bad, and the content is worth staying tuned for today on the Family Pet Podcast. Welcome into the Family Pet Podcast, the podcast for curious pet parents, where we believe the more you know about pet healthcare, the better pet parent you can be. I'm your host, Michael Shirley, joined as always by my much older brother, Steven.
Yeah,
welcome in, brother.
5 years, although that is 10% of my life.
You're pretty old.
Five years is 10%.
The main thing is that you're old. You just celebrated a big birthday.
Yes, we've talked about this multiple times on this episode.
Maybe, perhaps, people, sure, I just want to reiterate to people how old you are.
I am 50. I am 50, but doesn't feel any different than 49, which I don't remember feeling any different from 45, which is your age.
I saw Dr. Robinson downstairs, maybe it was last week or the week before, and I said, "You want to know something crazy?" And she goes, "What?" And I said, "We're the same age as Dr. Harris was when we worked for him." And she just looked at me and was like, "Go away." So, Dr. Harris, for those listeners out there, that's where myself and Dr. Shirley and Dr. Robinson, all here at Family Pet Health, that's where we all started in veterinary medicine, was working for Dr. David Harris. I always have to give him a shout out whenever I get a chance because he made this all pop. Without Dr. Harris, Family Pet Health and the Family Pet Podcast would not exist. So, thanks,
and
Dr. Harris.
And your extended Shirley family probably wouldn't.
Well, that's very true. That in his office is where I first met Dr. Shirley. I won't say that we wouldn't have gotten together had that place not existed, but the chances are definitely much, much slimmer that would have worked itself out. So, But the reason I'm making fun of Steven's age is
single episode.
I do like to do that. But it's because we have a guest who specializes in, well, maybe not specializes, but definitely, I think
she
wrote the books on aging in dogs and in cats. So she has a separate book for each of those. And so that is Amy Shojihi. So Amy, thanks for joining the Family Pet Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a joy to be here and talk about one of my favorite subjects, golden oldies.
There we go. I like it.
And just to interject, we are actually going to cover so much information. Just spoiler alert, we're going to make this two different episodes because there's so much, because you enjoy it so much.
That's right. Absolutely. Double your pleasure. We've got the cat side and then we'll do the dog side.
We were speaking, just kind of introducing, Stephen had coordinated this whole episode, and so was getting to know you a little bit before we hit record, and found out that we have a mutual friend, Pam Johnson Bennett, the listeners of the Family Pet Podcast. She's one of our favorite guests, and you like Pam, are a certified animal behavior consultant.
That's right.
Can you tell our listeners, what does that mean?
I started my career as a vet tech, so many, many, many years ago. We won't talk about how old I am, but in dog years I should be dead, so we're good.
What is for our listeners, and maybe that this is their first episode of the Family Pet Podcast, what does it mean to be a certified animal behavior consultant?
Okay, I specialize in both dogs and cats, and I'm certified through the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. It's IAABC. So it's a mouthful. And basically, what I do is translate what your cats or your dogs are doing, their behavior, and give you kind of the insight on why they're doing what they're doing and how you can react. A lot of times for pet parents, it's a behavior that, they don't like the cat scratching the furniture. But that's a normal behavior. So as a consultant, I help explain why that's a species appropriate behavior and how you can live with your cats and still allow them to have their claws and do cat-like things. And on the dog side, Same thing. Why are they leg lifting in certain areas you don't want? So, you know, we can address those. So it's a matter of, I'm kind of the intermediator between the furry wonder and the pet parent.
I like it. I think it did. Anytime somebody can help me understand why my pet is doing what they're doing. And again, when we've had previous conversations, and specifically you mentioned cat scratching, that's a normal behavior, but we just need to learn how to redirect unwanted normal behavior to become more appropriate as far as where they're doing it, how they're doing it.
So you mentioned interpreting what we're seeing the cats doing. So as we look at cats aging, what are some behaviors or physical changes or behavioral changes that cat owners should expect to see as their cat gets older?
Okay, I think one of the first things to address is how old is old. And our cats are, they age very gracefully. They're one of the species that I think because they're so small, they can live much longer than many of our dog breeds. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of comparing here back and forth between the two species, because I have a dog and two cats right now. And it's interesting, my older cat is just over 10, and I was sure he was slowing down a little bit about aging 10. You know, the kittens that like to jump up on everything, and they're doing all kinds of antics. And as the cat ages, they may slow down a little bit. A lot of cats these days, we now know that cats have arthritis, but they don't hold up a paw or limp the way dogs do. So sometimes it's a hidden kind of condition. So maybe the cat's not jumping up like they were anymore. Maybe they're missing the litter box because now they can't squat appropriately. It hurts. So these are some of the things that you may notice as your cat gets a little bit older. They're, it's not an absolute. Every cat is different. My first cat nearly lived to 22. She passed just shy of that. And she was my little Siamese wannabe. And she had never been, weighed more than about 7 pounds. And when we let her go, she was about 4 pounds. She was just tiny, tiny, tiny. So one of the things for the really older cats is muscle wasting. You might see some of those types of things. Difficulty hearing. One of the hallmarks of an aging cat is possibly selective hearing, because they've learned whether that's going to be an opening of a food treat bowl, or if it's something that they don't like. But a lot of cats lose, just like people do, their hearing, their senses, their sense of smell, can become a little bit dimmed. So if they're losing a little bit of their sense of smell, then maybe food tastes a little off. They are a little pickier about their eating habits. They may cry in another room because if they've lost their hearing, they don't know where you are. It's also on the medical side, and I always make this clear, I'm not a veterinarian. I do not diagnose any of that, but check with your veterinarian if they're crying a lot, because that has been linked to high blood pressure, which can be linked to, you know, all kinds of other issues with a heart and all kinds of things that your veterinarian need to check out. So there's a host of different things. But to circle back to my older cat, Karma Cat, who's laying here doing a sun puddle nap as we speak, suddenly when the new kitten showed up, it was like the fountain of youth. And suddenly he's up and he's moving and he's running around again. So again, it depends on the cat. If they are not given things to do and to a purpose in life, then yeah, they're going to turn to little couch potatoes and become little old men, little old women sitting there and doing nothing. So there are some things that you can do to help make those golden years just as happy as they were when they were, you know, bouncing off the wall and swinging from the drapes as kittens.
Do we also see the opposite of the muscle wasting? Do we see the maybe they're becoming a little bit more lethargic and gaining weight? And
absolutely.
And obesity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They put on all that table muscle. Yeah.
It's table muscle. I love it.
Yeah.
Table muscle.
Well, you know, when you think of our cats in 20, 30 years ago, they would go outside and chase bugs and climb trees and do. We have truncated their environment. So they are stuck in the house. I'm fortunate I have a larger house, but if you have a house that doesn't have a lot of rooms, they don't have a lot of places to exercise and to play. And, you know, the most exercise many of our cats get is getting off of the sofa and going to the food bowl.
Right.
And then coming back and sleeping for, you know, 15 hours while you're at work. So, yes, the expansion of the middle is a big issue, and that can lead to more problems with arthritis, with potentially diabetes. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It's all kind of interconnected.
What are your ways to entice an older cat to exercise and play?
Besides getting them a kitten.
A kitten is great. Actually, I love this question because this is right up my alley. I love enrichment in the house. And you can do a lot of things with, especially if your cat is, you know, he's got an expanding tummy or whatever, and he's very food motivated. Those are the cats that you can do training with. You can do clicker training with cats. You can use food puzzle toys, and they don't have to be expensive. I mean, everybody knows you buy a really expensive toy for your cat and you get it out and they look at it and then they go play in the empty box.
Right.
So cheap thrills are the way to go with cats. And you can, you know, an empty Kleenex box and throw some treat kibbles inside of that. So they have to fish on that. If you have a cat tree, or even if you don't have a cat tree, my house, we have two stories. So top of the stairs, put their food bowl at the top of the stairs. So they have to at least climb up the stairs to get to the food. Put it on top of the cat tree. Take little paper plates and set it all around the house so that they have to actually hunt, a species-specific behavior to get up and move and find their food. Now, you know, in my house, I have a dog, so he's going to go get it first. Right. So you have to do some adjustments there if you have multi-species. Or if, you know, I think a majority of U.S. households that have cats, I think they said something like they have 1.5 cats per household. I don't know what a 0.5 of a cat is, but
cats,
they have more than one cat. So if you have a, you know, a young kitten like mine that has a bottomless pit and she steals food from the dog, from the cat, from our plate, you know, any, we have to put her up when we're eating because she was a rescue and she will snarf anything. And then my older guy who does have a little bit of a tummy, he slimmed down since the kitten came, which is great. But you may have to do some meal adjustments and do separate feedings, different ways to do that. There's some great foods out there now. There's some great diets, and you can talk with your veterinarian about what's appropriate for your particular cat because, you know, if they're, depending on the age of the cat, what's going to be most appropriate for them. Typically, cats need a lot of protein. Even the older cats need a lot of protein, which is something that is more of a newer information that's coming out. We used to think about having to restrict protein, you know, to protect the kidneys and all that. And until they reach a certain loss of kidney function, they still, the experts tell me that they still should have a pretty high level of protein, but it's a highly digestible protein. That's kind of the key there. It's not just, you know, throwing stuff in a bowl. The pet food companies really know what they're doing. So, you know, rely on that expertise.
And I like what you said, consult your veterinarian because, I mean, that's their job to know these things.
Absolutely.
But like at our clinic, Dr. Sam has actually put together a weight loss program and that she has measured out. And if, you know, with this cat specific, this is the calories and literally weighing the food and mm-hmm. how many treats you can give. And I mean, it's precise. It's scientific.
she broke down all the treats that we give at the office and the caloric intake for
just a doctor's visit.
Just for a regular doctor. We're like, oh, we need to change our treats up a little bit.
But that's what we tell clients. Maybe when you come, don't feed that morning.
That's because right, we're going to load them up with carbs here. Right.
They're going to get all their food.
Right, and that's great because a lot of the clinics now, I'm a big fan of fear-free and cat-friendly practices that, you know, so many of our pet parents that have cats, the cat sees the cat carrier come out and disappears because they don't want to go to the vet clinic. They don't like the car rides. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So when you have a clinic that knows that and knows how to manage that and make it a more pleasant, cat-friendly experience, that's wonderful. And one of the ways you can do that, what we do at our house is my dog loves the cat treats too, which is, anyway, you put the number of treats they get per day in a little container. And then, kibble, if they prefer to eat the kibble or the canned or whatever, have it already measured out per day. And then you can feed from that throughout the day.
Now, people may be listening and thinking, this sounds excessive. But the reason that we are so, you know, that we recommend this so much is that overweight animals, just like in people, lead to so many other problems and issues that we have.
It is the foundation of so many other conditions that if you fix the weight, you can dramatically affect the arthritis, the kidney function.
Absolutely. And see, cats are very different feeders than dogs are. I mean, cats are intermittent feeders, and so they will eat, you know, 6 to 20 times a day, but tiny, think about how much calories are in a mouse, you know, and how much they have to hunt in order to be successful. They may have, you know, 15 failed attempts until they finally catch that mouse. And yet we humans, we love them. We're loving them to death by filling the bowl and just letting them belly up to the bar. So let's think about loving them in different ways.
I want to circle back, and this is one of my favorite phrases.
Circle back
to something you said
circle a while ago.
So I haven't said that one either. I love your statement about that cats age gracefully.
Yes.
But one of the things that we have clients complain about or concerned about is that the cat, in particular with the food, they've just gotten picky and it's so difficult and they won't cooperate with these kind of functions and it's not graceful. But you mentioned something. Why is that? Why are they becoming more picky about their food? And you talked about that physically, physiologically, they're changing and that's affecting their taste desires.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I researched the cat book and the dog book, I talked with researchers who were doing studies into scent and flavors and all those. And, you know, cats don't really have a sense of sweet so much. They have a taste for meat. But just one time having it a little bit off or a little bit, or they feel upset, they have an upset stomach for whatever reason, there is a way that a lot of times cats will blame a particular food for making them feel bad. So they may have a food that they've loved forever, but that one day they have an upset tummy or they have some diarrhea or whatever's going on, and they associate that. The same thing happens with the litter box. They may associate a hard stool and the painful defecation with the litter box, and thereafter, I'm not going in that box. That made me hurt. I'm going to go right next to it instead. You know, they know where they're supposed to go. But the same with the sense of taste. particularly the sense of smell. And we know today, we used to think, well, dogs are the ones that, you know, they hone in with this, with the smell, the sniffers, the bloodhounds, all that. Cats also have an incredible sense of smell. So food can smell a little bit off. As they age, they lose the ability to detect as accurately as they could. I mean, just like people, they go a little bit deaf, the eyesight goes a little away. So there's all these different things happening. There may be a location association too. You know, if they have always been fed in a particular place and then you have to move the bowl for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, in my house, I have to make adjustments for the dog to make sure that he doesn't steal their food or the kitten doesn't steal his food and, you know,
or get snapped at. Or the infant Michael who used to eat cat food at our house.
It's true. I did have an affinity for tender vittles was my favorite snack.
He ate the cat's food. But I like the...
I'm not touching that one. Yeah.
That one. But when you talk about, we all as humans, we think about it, as I get older, my eyes get a little less, my hearing in particular. But as our pets, as our cats get older, the sense of smell and the sense of taste, those adjustments, it's not that they're being picky or being difficult.
It's that they're changing.
It's that their body is changing, and that's changing their likes. It's a fascinating piece of information.
Yeah, and something particularly with the wet food, the canned food, if pet parents are feeding that, something that helps unlock and the aroma is just zap it in the microwave just for like 10 seconds, or even use low salt or no salt chicken broth. Just a little bit, something that is just going to add a little bit more aroma to it to let them recognize this. Oh, yeah, this is that stuff I really like.
This is good stuff.
You know, and once you get them eating, something else that happens when cats don't feel well is just the interaction with a beloved human. Taking a little bit of a soft food, putting it on the end of your finger and offering it to them. Sometimes they will lick it off your finger and eat when they will not eat out of a bowl. And just making sure the bowl is really, really clean because, you know, we're lazy humans and we don't always wash it out thoroughly every time, but the cat can smell the rancid stuff that's left over from last week's meal. So make sure the bowl is also very, very clean. All of these different things can affect, you know, the way your cat reacts.
Amy, some of our most downloaded episodes of the Family Pet Podcast have been our episodes about feline care and training and health issues. On your blog, which our listeners can find at amysojahi.com, and that's AmyShoJai.com, and we will put that in the show notes. But you wrote a blog post recently called The Feline Love Languages, and for listeners out there, I assume this is based on the Five Love Languages book for people, which everyone should listen to. It helped my marriage so much. But if I want to help my relationship with our feline residents there are
just,
in our house,
just so many ways.
How
listen
do
to them.
We show you know, our watch senior
them,
cats that we
listen to
love them.
Let them guide you how they want interaction. You know, one of the biggest things is remember that we're primates. Cats are not. So hugging a cat is showing love for people. Cats can learn to love that and accept that, but many cats don't like that. So meet them on their terms. The prime cat spots to be petted are the back of the neck, the cheeks. You know how cats run around and they cheek rub everything and they're leaving their scent and basically marking their environment. Mm-hmm. And you as I own this. That's the way the cats show love to you. So return the favor. Rub, you know, pet them on the back of the neck, not on the top of the head, because that can be kind of off-putting to cats. Just think about the size of a cat compared to the size of your hand and that hand coming down on top of you. That's very, very scary for a cat. Yeah, exactly. So you're going to want to, and think about the way other cats interact with each other. Cats groom each other, mutually groom each other on the back of the neck. So you're actually mimicking what another cat would do. That's the place where he can't really groom himself very efficiently. So you're helping him there. A lot of cats like right at the base of the tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you don't.
I want to see
actually,
you
there,
start licking my cat.
Oh, that's going off on a very weird tangent. But there is. I saw one time in a meme. There was somebody that had like a toy that you
was bad of
that
me.
You put on your mouth and it mimicked being. And let's not go there. maybe we can edit that out later. But think about those things. Another place that cats really like attention is right at the base of the tail. And if you know, pet them and their tail goes up there, and if you scratch them a little bit there, I call that elevator butt. They just go right up there and they like to be scratched right there. So think about those things. Play with your cats.
Oh, yeah.
Play with your cats. Even your old cats. They don't play the same way as young ones do. But remember that cat play mimics the stalking and hunting behaviors that they do. And part of that is watching. So if you have an older cat that doesn't still jump and leap in the air the way the kittens do, but he watches and he watches that feather toy going across, do it horizontally across the plane of vision instead of vertically away from them. And that way they can see it more readily. But play, find toys that they really, really like. You can love them with treats if they're healthy treats. My cats love churro. You need to use with, again, the advice of your veterinarian. If your cat tends to put on the pudge, you're going to want to limit some of that. But there's all different ways. Listen to what your cat loves. If your cat loves to play fetch with your cat. Wall up, you know, roll up a piece of paper and toss it. Let him make a mess. Bring in a big box full of dry leaves and let him play in the leaves. That's part of the enrichment that I talked about. If you can't let him outside, set up a bird feeder right outside the window so that they can interact and chirp and watch and hurl cat curses at the squirrel that's out there. All those
fun things
that cats want to do. Set up a catio. Fix, you know, there are ways that you can either purchase or you can put together a catio yourself. Second story.
at the window.
Oh, I've got a cat.
The stupid window's
okay,
in
the
my
kitten
way.
Just woke up. So she may make an appearance. But second story territory, if you have an apartment with not a lot of room, clear a bookshelf so that the cat can get up high. Cats love to be up high. if you have a ladder, get a ladder. Put a cat bed on the paint rack. Tie toys on it. You've got it once, and that's loving your cat.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. And for all of you curious pet parents out there, until next time, stay curious.
Family Pet Podcast is a podcast for curious pet parents, where we believe the more you know about pet health care, the better pet parent you can be. The Family Pet Podcast is a production of Family Pet Health, PLLC, and is recorded in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The statements made as a part of this show should not be taken as an establishment of any form of a veterinary-client-patient relationship. All comments are for entertainment and educational purposes only, and you should reach out to your local veterinary partner before taking any action on anything that you've heard here today. We hope that you will share this podcast with a friend, and it would mean so much to us if you would take a moment to leave a review and follow wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Show notes, links, and videos to accompany today's show can be found at thefamilypetpodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Family Pet Podcast. As I said, there was a few audio issues, mainly in editing process. And you may be saying, well, Michael, I missed the fun fact of the day. Amy did bring us a fun fact, but the audio wasn't as good enough for us to play it. So I'm going to tell you what her fun fact is, because you might be able to use that at trivia night that's coming up at Family Pet Health this summer. If you want to learn more about that, go to our website, familypethealth.com, and look on our events page, or just give us a call. So
The fun fact for this episode is that the overwhelming majority of calico cats are female. You may have already known that. You may not. I don't know. But now you do, because the Family Pet Podcast is all about making you smarter. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please, please, please share it with a friend. At least go and give us a like or a follow on your favorite podcasting app. Give us a review. Would really go a long way. It would make it all worthwhile for us. We really appreciate you listening to the Family Pet Podcast. And until next time, stay curious.